Hello, everyone. Our friend Peter Daigle, Attorney Daigle, is joining us this month, and we're going to do something a little bit different when we're talking about bankruptcy with him. We're going to talk about some scenarios. He's going to share with us some of the situations he's run into via stories, and I love stories, and we're going to, you know, see what the person's struggle was and how they, you know, overcame it with Peter's help. And you may find yourself in a similar situation, or you may know someone, and that will be your cue to contact Peter as well. So welcome back, Peter, and I'm all excited about this new direction.
Thank you, Catherine. It's always a pleasure to talk to you each month.
Listen, what do you have for us today? Whose story or what story are we going to talk about for today's bankruptcy?
Great. Well, thanks for asking. So what happens is that we see the same stories over and over again, the same scenarios. We're going to start with a common scenario that we see from time to time. And, of course, it's obviously upsetting because the folks that come to us are elderly and they're embarrassed or ashamed to tell their family of the financial situation that they came in. They pride themselves on being independent and, you know, they raise their children and they don't want to go back to their children and say, listen, you know, mom or dad needs a hand here. And so the scenario that I'm going to speak to is a woman by the name of Maura who came to us a year ago, and her husband had passed away, and they were living a month to month anyway because it was both on Social Security checks. And when he passed away, all she had was the one Social Security check at that point, and she had aged out of her ability to really be able to work much anymore. She was used to a part-time job that she had at the grocery store, and it was just hard for her to be on her feet. And so she wasn't able to supplement her income as much as she was able to with the part-time job anymore. And because her husband passed away, she only had the one Social Security check. And what happened was that she started to live off her credit cards to supplement the difference. And so each month she would tap her credit cards to supplement her income, and then she would just make the minimum payments on it. And it was okay for a while because the minimum payments were so low. But as the balance grew, she wasn't able to make the minimum payments anymore without having to take money from her essentials like electricity or food and the like. And she came to us in a panic, again, afraid to tell her children of what she had gotten herself into. She didn't want to be judged by her children, or at least, asking them for help because she felt that, you know, what she had created was her own doing, and you know, she should be the one to get herself out of it. So that's the scenario that occurred.
You met Maura, she comes and she has all, you know, doesn't want to tell the kids what she's done. What would be the reason that she decided to use credit cards versus getting a job? And I'm asking this because I've seen a lot of senior citizens at the Walmarts or, you know, different places where they're having to work past Social Security age anyway, but was she not working when her spouse died? What was it that kept her from being able to maintain the lifestyle before he passed?
She was in her 80s. So what happens, you'll see a lot of folks in the 60s and 70s that are able to, you know, supplement their income, but it gets to a certain point, it'll happen to all of us, we're really not able to be on our feet all day long, and that was happening to her. She just couldn't, you know, and so she was able to work a little bit, but it just wasn't enough to make the difference. So, you know, she had aged out of full employment and aged out of her husband, and she'd aged out of working, you know, a significant amount of part-time, and she was still had to maintain the same rent, you know, phone, cable, electricity, all the bills that all of us have. She'd outlived her income, ability to earn any income. She, in her mind, as if all of us do, we keep hoping, you know, I'll be able to get healthy, go back to work, something will happen. And so all of us, hold out for that, you know, ideal that things are going to get better. And then when we use our credit cards, we don't think we're going to use them just to not pay them back. We think of it as a temporary situation. But for some people, that temporary becomes permanent when they're not, you know, they've lost their economic, ability to earn an income.
Mm-hmm. Now, when she came to you, what were you able to help her do? Because it sounds like a very tough situation.
Yeah, what we did is we filed a Chapter 7 bankruptcy for her, eliminated all of her credit card debt. So by the elimination of the credit card debt, then she was able to devote her paycheck fully to paying her bills. And then we also set up a budget for her as part of it. And so she is part of the pre-bankruptcy planning, we work with her on a budget. And so she came to realize that she has to live within her means. So because of the fact that, you know, she had to cut back on her, you know, going from all the different packages that Comcast offers to just basic cable. You know, she had to cut down to one phone, cell phone, to, from the home phone. And so, you know, she was able to make some decisions that she had put off before, you know, because she had the use of the credit cards, which were a crutch. Now she was forced to balance her budget each month. And she there was enough money to do it. And so it sort of forced her to create a budget and live within her means.
Wow, so it's not just about coming to get, you know, whichever chapter of bankruptcy I'm trying to file for my best situation, but
yes,
there's some advice
seven, right.
with it. Chapter 7, I'm able to get some advice as well on how to go forward in my new direction, in my new situation. Do you find that people spend most of their time in the emotional part? Because logically, I mean, just listen to you. Logically, it sounds like, okay, get a budget, cut down on, you know, the cell phones or the cable channels, that kind of thing, logically. But do you think there's an emotional thing that we go through when we come through your doors with these issues? Do you think emotions is what gets us in a lot of trouble?
Good question. Her case, it was her husband that paid all the bills, so she never really, you know, had a budget. And between their husband working part-time, both two Social Security checks and her working part-time, there was enough money to pay for, you know, all the different cable channels and, you know, and have the two phones and go out to lunch. And so I think, you know, for some reason, and she just continued to live with that same lifestyle without, you know,
making
a wake-up call to make the adjustment.
Huh.
And I think, you know, and a lot of folks have not really had much financial management training, especially if one spouse takes care of it. And the same happens with the divorce. If one person paid all the bills and the other person just turned over the paycheck, this, it's a learning experience to go on with your new life here. You know, and you've got to reinvent yourself as a single, you know, person with, you know, maintaining your own budget and, you know, staying within your means. So, you know, that's just an example.
And what an age to learn that.
Yeah, I know, and just, you know, unfortunate. But we see a lot of it. A lot of people don't live within their means. They don't really have never really set the time to set a budget. And, of course, it's, you know, you'd say, well, it's common sense and it's something that we all do, but we don't all do it, you know. Before you know it, that nasty Comcast is just keeps knocking up their, you know, your charges each month for all these different things. And before you know it, you're giving it your half your paycheck to Comcast and electric company, the phone company, you know.
Without taking a visit. So what are some tips? Let me back up. Sometimes people feel like I'm an adult, I should know these things, and there's just some things you don't know if you have not had to encounter it, if you're not the one that was paying the bill, so you would not. So what are some words of advice you can give someone that may be up in age that's listening to the radio show, or someone that maybe in a situation where they're going to have to downsize, because some people have a hard time adjusting to living on less.
Right. You know, I think what the thing is just try to deal with the reality that you find yourself in and don't hold out for some future event. I mean, don't plan on winning that scratch ticket. Don't plan on somebody passing away leaving you money. Don't plan on all of a sudden getting this huge promotion at work or anything else. In other words, just deal with what you have at the moment. Be in the present. Just say, listen, today I don't have the income. I really need to adjust my lifestyle. Don't bet on the future, you know, because that's what happens with a lot of these folks. They're betting on some event occurring that's going to bail them out. And they just, as they say, kicking the can down the road and figuring, you know, I'll solve that problem tomorrow, you know.
Oh, and procrastination will mess you up.
Yeah.
Peter, this has been great, a great analogy, a great demonstration of what the scenarios of bankruptcy looks like, because we've been on the side of listener questions and just, you know, giving some guidance there. But having these real-life scenarios where people have come through the door and what is that like? Because I was waiting, like, what happened? You know, I'm listening to a story, but then I'm like, okay, well, Peter, what happened, you know? So how do people get in touch with you so that they, one, can, you know, talk with you, they can get a copy of your free book that you have available for people to answer some of the most basic questions? How do they get in touch with you to get their bankruptcy questions answered?
Sure, Catherine. The best way would be to go through my website. It's daiglelawoffice.com, D-A-I-G-L-E, lawoffice.com, all singular. And through that website, they can contact me. They can request a free copy of the book. And they can email me any questions that they have, and I'll be happy to get back to them.
Awesome. Peter, thank you. And until next month when you have your next story to share with us, have a wonderful day.
You too, Catherine. Thanks so much. Okay, bye-bye.
You're welcome.